For ease of listening, footnotes and scriptural citations included in the print version are omitted from this audio version. Conflict resolution. One of our responsibilities as pastors and ministers of the gospel is to handle conflicts between members or groups in the apostolic faith organization. What is conflict? Conflict is contention or disagreement between individuals who hold opinions or perspectives that are at variance. Though the word conflict does not occur in Scripture, a variety of other words such as dispute, division, quarrel, strife, and contention are employed to describe interpersonal differences. One renowned conflict mediator states, "I find it useful to think of conflict as existing if at least one person believes it to exist." What causes conflict? Conflict generally occurs when the desires, expectations, or fears of one person or group of people collide with the desires, expectations, or fears of another person or group. Obviously, unbelievers will have clashes because their lives are governed by Satan. However, even among sanctified individuals, unity is not automatic. Differences occur because God did not make us clones of each other, nor did He remove all our individual characteristics and preferences when He saved us. Differences can escalate into conflict when individuals fail to seek a biblical method of resolution. Often, conflict in the church is a result of differing personalities or goals, unmet expectations, incompatible preferences, contrasting methods of operation, competition for resources or power, poor communication, or resistance to change. Unresolved conflict can lead to hindered spiritual growth, bitterness, discord, stress, and coolness between members of God's family. How should conflicts be resolved? Many differences can be resolved simply by overlooking offenses, following the example of our Lord, who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. If that is not possible, for example, in a case where a direct conflict exists, a personal attempt should be made in private for reconciliation between the parties involved. What is the minister's role in resolving conflicts? There are times when controversies cannot be resolved through a personal approach. In those situations, church leaders may be asked to assist the participants in settling their dispute according to principles outlined in the Word of God. Many of the epistles written by the Apostle Paul were penned in response to conflicts over doctrine, moral concerns, or interpersonal disputes in the church. Like the Apostle, our role as pastors and ministers is to facilitate a resolution that is just, equitable, and accord with Scripture. How does ministerial conflict resolution differ from secular resolution? Typically, church leaders will attempt to mediate a dispute, helping both sides work together toward a voluntary agreement or resolution. The difference between church mediation and secular mediation is that we hold the Bible authoritative in all matters of faith, doctrine, and manner of conflict resolution. We also depend upon the presence and guidance of the Holy Spirit. When the Israelites came to King Solomon with disputes, God granted him discernment so wise that it brought acclaim from many nations. In our day as well, the Holy Spirit is our source of wisdom and discernment. Paul states in 1 Corinthians 6, 1-8, that disagreeing Christians should not resort to a secular judiciary system to settle their differences. Doing so sets aside the guidance of the Holy Spirit and puts the decision into the hands of a judge or jury who most likely are not Christians and thus not likely to base their judgment upon Christian values. When those in conflict resort to secular courts, legal action can further damage relationships and discredit the participant's Christian witness. In addition, secular legal decisions are more apt than church decisions to fail to achieve complete justice, for only God can see the heart. What steps should be taken in the resolution process? There is no single way to resolve conflicts between congregation members because each situation we deal with as pastors and ministers will be unique in some aspects. However, establishing basic guidelines for the resolution process will be helpful. Earn trust. As pastors and ministers, we must have genuine concern for all participants in the conflict so that every person involved senses they can trust us, that we genuinely care about them, and that we will do our best to guide them. They should have confidence that we will conduct the resolution process in a fair, orderly, and even-handed manner and according to the Word of God. Such trust is only gained over time as people observe our consistent walk, application of Scripture to ourselves, and our commitment to confidentiality. Pray for guidance, wisdom, and clarity. We should always look to the Spirit of God for direction rather than depending upon our own wisdom, no matter how well we think we understand the situation or the people involved. We can trust God to give us the practical tools and needed insight, even when situations appear to be extremely challenging. God's Word assures us, "Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things." Meet with participants. At times, it may be appropriate to meet initially with participants on each side of the conflict individually. Once we have heard both viewpoints, we can bring together the individuals involved. Gather facts. It is important to make sure we hear all sides of the story. We read in Proverbs 18:13, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." Every participant should have a reasonable opportunity to present information they believe is relevant to the dispute. An example of this is found in Acts 15, when the Council of Jerusalem wrestled with a major conflict that divided the infant church. In that situation, Paul and Barnabas reported how God had used the converted Gentiles, while the opposing side presented their conviction that Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. We should do our best to ascertain the interests, concerns, desires, needs, limitations, or fears of each individual involved in the conflict. Identify the conflict. Notice how Paul directly stated the issue causing contention when he addressed the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1:10 through 12. In some cases, it will be necessary to work with people who would rather avoid or ignore a problem situation. Being clear and definitive allows the matter to be dealt with. In addition, sometimes people are not aware of the effect their behavior has had on others. In such instances, simply realizing that something they did has caused conflict may move the resolution process forward rapidly. Evaluate motives. It may be helpful to ascertain the real priorities of each participant. Taking a conflict to church authorities should never be used as a weapon, a means of getting one's way, a strategy to further one's personal agenda, a method of punishment, or a vehicle for retaliation. Rather, those involved should view the resolution process as a God-ordained way to bring about reconciliation and restoration between members of the family of God. Present biblical guidelines. Key in on principles such as the importance of endeavoring to keep unity, refraining from judging motives, the duty of reconciliation, the need for mercy, meekness, forbearance, and forgiveness, giving up the right to retaliation, and using truthful and edifying speech. Facilitate discussion. Listen patiently, speak gently, and present the truth in love. Strive to keep balance in the dialogue, encouraging the involvement of all. We should assist the parties in identifying their interests and positions by asking key questions, requesting clarification, and restating basic points to make sure everyone understands correctly. We will want to protect vulnerable participants and keep the focus on the issue. We should guide participants to move beyond blame, accusations, and focus on their own desires to actively seeking acceptable solutions. Encourage acceptance of responsibility. It typically is much easier for those engaged in conflict to focus on the other person and that one's misdeeds than to take responsibility for their own role in the conflict. Often, the whole complexion of a conflict changes when one individual can acknowledge and sincerely apologize for an offense. Build consensus toward a Bible-based solution. Guide both parties to consider ways out of the conflict situation by suggesting options or modifications to present policies or behaviors. At times, it may be helpful to remind participants that successful conflict resolution in God's eyes may not be a matter of specific actions, but a commitment to faithful, dependent obedience. Make restoration and renewal the goal rather than winning a contest. Make sure everyone understands the conclusion reached. In the conflict recorded in Acts 15, the decision of the Jerusalem Council was put into writing and transmitted to the Gentile churches so no confusion could occur. Encourage appropriate follow-up. Words without accompanying actions are meaningless. True success in resolving an issue will be proved by actions over time. Participants must recognize that rebuilding trust in relationships is generally an ongoing process. Recognize limits. We must take care to guard against having unrealistic expectations when it comes to conflict resolution. Many times, conflicts may not be perfectly resolved. Ultimately, only God can change people. Individuals may harden their hearts and refuse to be reconciled, or claim to be at peace but still harbor a grudge in their hearts. We cannot force people to act in a certain way. We can only give them the counsel of God's Word and encourage them to follow it. However, even if individuals resist reconciliation, we can continue to trust that God is in control and will deal with them in His own way and time. In conclusion, there are some final principles regarding conflict resolution that will help us fulfill our ministerial responsibilities in this regard. Be careful not to offer advice precipitously. It is best to get all the facts and then allow some time for prayer and seeking the guidance of the Spirit rather than rushing to a quick conclusion. When gathering information, take care not to inadvertently encourage one participant to judge another person's motive. Ask them to share facts and perceptions, but to refrain from theorizing about motives, making assumptions, or offering reasons for the other person's actions. Remember that people in conflict often want someone to solve their problems for them. However, stepping in could deprive them of an opportunity to learn to resolve their own disputes in a biblical manner. By requiring people to review and implement the principles of God's Word for themselves, we can help them gain understanding in how to deal with future conflicts. Guard against harshness, even when dealing with individuals who are resistant, rebellious, defiant, and argumentative. We do not want our words to be like the piercings of a sword, but rather the tongue of the wise, which brings health and healing. Be alert to common strategies employed by people engaged in conflict. These may include blaming others, ignoring facts or points they would rather not face, rationalizing their own behavior, involving others to support their position, etc. At other times, people may insist that God told me. It can be challenging when opposing sides both claim that God is on their side. We must not give up too easily in seeking ways to resolve difficult conflicts. Others will be watching to see if we persevere. As ministers, we set an example for our congregations. Those watching will be apt to respond in the same manner as we do when conflicts surface in their own lives. Avoid attempting to resolve disputes that should not be mediated by the church. These include criminal matters, conflicts where participants wish to make an unlawful or unbiblical agreement, conflicts where participants exhibit violent behavior or mental or psychological disturbance, situations involving minors acting without parental consent or involvement, cases where legal counsel is already involved, and conflicts in which any participant rejects the process, becomes disruptive or abusive, or objects to biblical principles. The reality is that we may never enjoy a totally conflict-free church while we live on this earth. As ministers of the gospel, however, we must preach the necessity of endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace and challenge those in our congregations to be of one mind and live in peace with one another. Counsel to ministers. At times, conflicts in the church may involve us. We cannot use our role as ministers as a platform to resolve disputes in which we ourselves or members of our family are involved. At such times, we must step aside and put the matter before other pastors in our organization who are not personally involved in the matter.